I have a secret. That alone stirs something in us. When somebody says, I have a secret, but you don't know it, doesn't it? Actually, I do kind of have a secret, and you can't see it. I'm going to show it and see if I can figure out what this is, all right? See if I can figure out. Who said it? Who is it? Mr. Krabs, yes. See, you couldn't see that until I showed it to you. We've been living, man, we've been wearing masks for 11 months. Is it 11 months we've been wearing masks? Isn't that crazy? Social distancing, we can't shake hands, can't really get close to people, can't go to our favorite restaurant or coffee shop like we wanted to. So things have been a little bit different for a long time. Seems like forever. And with all of this going on, with the mask, I don't know about you guys, but when people come in, especially if they have a hat on and a mask on, and you see about this much of them, you know, maybe, because it's got to be above the nose, because you guys, have you seen the different way that people wear masks? You know, there's the chin diaper, the snot grabber, you know, you guys have seen all the way different people wear their masks, but when they're wearing them correctly, it's like looking at a ninja. You know, you can't quite figure out who anybody is, and it's just getting tougher all the time. Well, we are kind of hiding behind masks in many ways. Had some guys say, well, you know what? I haven't brushed my teeth for 8 months because I don't need to anymore. Gross, man. But we're hiding behind a lot of things, and a lot of things aren't as they appear. You guys have heard stories about, you know, the preacher who had his microphone on and he went to the bathroom, forgot to turn it off. And so he's in the bathroom. Everybody hears all this. These things have really happened. But, you know, it's happened probably with some of you, you know, with doing your Zoom calls for work or Zoom teaching or online stuff. And people are walking in and out of the room. Sometimes it's embarrassing. And people are seeing things that you really don't want them to see. Sometimes our hidden world has become exposed in a way. You know, how many of you, don't raise your hand, but some of us have cleaned up our living area where we're Zooming so that everybody sees, oh, it looks so good in their house. I feel like I've made a trip to a lot of the TV anchors' houses because I can say, I recognize the inside of their house now. If you watch news a lot, oh, yeah, this is this person's house. And they've set up virtual studios. So, well, I have a friend who on social media, he put something on because things kind of got out of hand with a virtual meeting. And well, let me just read to you what he wrote. Here's what he said. He said, note to self, lock the bathroom door. Yeah, you know where this is going, right? No, lock the bathroom door so your wife doesn't barge in holding her phone on a video conference call while you're taking a shower in a wide open all glass shower. Oh, this is getting bad real fast, isn't it? Partway through the question conversation, I realized that she might be on video, so I asked. She giggled and left the room. I hope everyone enjoyed the shower. This was December 2nd, this last year. You know, we're revealing more than we want to reveal in a lot of ways with COVID and the cameras everywhere. Now, we realize in the society we live in that there are cameras hidden everywhere, right? You go to the grocery store, you know there's cameras. You go to Walmart or Target, you know there's cameras. You understand that. But there's cameras on street corners now watching us. Everything we do, and you know, there's cameras everywhere, and it seems like the world's more in tune to us all the time, watching every move we make. But there are places that we can go to, right? There are places where we can go to and nobody can see what we're doing. You can take your phone, sit in your bedroom, and you can look at anything you want to look at. You can talk to anybody you want to talk to. Send any message, go on any social media app, you want to do any of that stuff, and nobody sees it, right? Well, have you ever asked yourself the question, how much of that stuff, how much of our life is hidden from God? How much does He see that we are not comfortable with other people seeing. And somehow we kind of justify it with God. We kind of say, well, he's God and he sees everything and he knows what's going on. And somehow we've made ourselves okay with some of those things. But I think after today, you're not going to be all that okay with everything that's going on in secret. There are secret lives that some of us live that we don't want the rest of the world to see, but it's happening. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to open your Bibles to Luke chapter 12. Open it to Luke chapter 12. We're going to look at a couple different verses. When we get to Luke 12, I want you to leave it open there because I'm going to make several references to that. But I'm going to go back to Mark 4. So if you're one of these really energetic people, you want to put your other finger at Mark 4. Then we're going to go to 2 Chronicles chapter 7. I'm going to give you a couple as we go through the message. But right up front, Luke chapter 12. So Luke chapter 12. All right. I want you to read this and follow along with me. Okay, here we go. In the meantime, the Bible says, Luke chapter 12, verse 1. In the meantime, when an innumerable multitude of people had gathered together so that they trampled one another, Jesus, began to say to his disciples, first of all, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, nor hidden that will not be known. Therefore, whatever you have spoken in the dark will be heard in the light. And what you have spoken in the ear in inner rooms will be proclaimed on housetops. Does that make shivers go down your spine, knowing that everything is going to be revealed? Let's pray. God, we thank you for the revelation of your word. God, I thank you, God, for just being a God who loves us and cares for us and is there for us in every step of the way. Lord, I pray that you bless us and keep us. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. So, we've been wearing these silly masks for 11 months. And some of us wear the same one repeatedly until your wife comes along and says, you either wash that thing or throw it away. So I tried washing it. And guys, if you have a beard, it kind of balls up, you know, after you washed it, so it doesn't look real well. So guess what? My wife brought me home a new black mask that I've been wearing. I've been wearing it for a long time, but she bought me two of them. So there's all kinds of masks, right? So here's what you've been wondering, what's in this backpack. You know, there's you know, the gator. You guys, we have some people. Anybody here wearing a gator? Raise your hand. I want to see anybody wearing a gator. Nobody wearing a gator. You wear them. You're just not wearing it right now. Well, they're pretty cool, you know. You can cover your whole face. And if you're in class, you can pull it over your eyes and sleep, but don't do that. This one, which is made out of furniture fabric. Somebody made that for me. It's really, really effective. Really, it'll block anything, even your breath. I mean, you, and you can tie those strings around. You're really, really, really effective there, you know. I've got this one, which is kind of like a camouflage thing. Look at there. I didn't realize that it's two-sided. Look at there. Your wife would never know. You're wearing the same one all the time. She thinks that you're cleaning it up. All right. I don't know why I have this in my bag. I really, really don't. I don't think I've worn it. For some reason, I have a pink one. I have no idea why that's there, but it's in, you know, there's, of course, then you want to be sterile. You can wear the, you know, the hospital kind that we give away. But we're wearing all of these masks and all these things. We've been wearing them for so long, and we're doing it for safety reasons to keep the germs back. But let me challenge you with something. Sometimes we as believers put on a mask so that people don't see who we really are. They don't see the real us. Do you understand what I'm saying? You know, you come to church and you walk in, you have a seat and say all the right words, say all the right things. You sing the songs. We know when to raise our hand. We know when to sit down. We know when to do everything. And we just kind of go through the Christianity motions. And we want everybody to see that we're godly. And we do all of these things, all right? We're doing all the right things. But sometimes when we go to school or we go out with our friends or we go to work, and we start having conversations that aren't godly, or we start doing things that aren't godly, or maybe we slip down to our bedroom or the basement and we pick up a phone or we open up a computer, we start looking at things that we shouldn't be looking at. Engaging ourselves in things that we shouldn't be engaged in. Or we sit down with social media and we start sending messages and social media, little videos, TikToks, or whatever you want to do that aren't really something that we want everybody here to see. What if I were able, let's say I have hacked into your Snapchat account. We're going to run the last week over this in the background from your Snapchat or your TikTok or whatever, or Instagram. We're going to run all that. How about this one? Finsta. You guys don't, I know a word, don't I? It's a fake Instagram account, okay? That's when we have an account that we want our parents to see. That's our Instagram account. We have a Finsta. We don't want everybody else to see it. We want to keep that secret, okay? We want to keep that quiet. Now, for many of you, you're like, you're speaking another language, but, you know, with younger folks, they have these things going on. What if we ran the Finsta account up there? Now, hold on just a minute. You're getting personal, right? I don't want everybody to see these things. I don't want everybody to know what's going on. I want to back off just a little bit. But again, the question is, how much of what we do that we think is private, does God know, and what's going to happen with that information? Well, here's where, if you've got your finger in Mark chapter 4, verse 22, this is some of the scariest words in the Bible sometimes, all right? You know, there are only scary words in the Bible if we're leading a second secret life. A final exam is not scary if you know all the answers, right? If you're doing everything right. But if you're not doing anything right, you're sleeping through class and you're not doing your work and everything, the final is scary. So this might be scary to you. Mark chapter 4, verse 22. For there is nothing hidden. There is nothing hidden which will not be revealed. Nor has anything been kept secret, but that it should come to light. Do you understand what I'm saying here? What the Bible is teaching us is very much like it would be up on the screen. Every account, every text message, every email, every Instagram post, every TikTok, every Snapchat, everything is just gonna, it's all gonna be revealed. And so this is what we're saying. So go back to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, verse 1. First part of verse 1 says this. In the meantime, while everything was going on, understand what was going on, Jesus' popularity is growing tremendously because he's been feeding people food. He's been healing them of illnesses. He's been, interpreting and revealing God's word. And so people, as he's feeding them, people are being drawn to him and they're following him and they're coming in just large, large, large groups. And so by the way, crucifixion is only a few months away. It's not going to be very long to the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. So in the meantime, while all this is going on, when an innumerable multitude, now I find it very interesting considering that in the Bible there are multiple times that they number a crowd. 5,000 had the meal with 5 loaves, 2 fishes. The 4,000 sat down and ate. There are these numbers. But now this one says the innumerable multitude of people had gathered together so that they trampled one another. He, Jesus, began to say to his disciples first of all. So here's what Jesus is doing. All this crowd is around and he's pulled his disciples close to him and says, listen, I want you guys first to know this. It's almost like mom is going into a formal dinner party. She has her children with her, and she says, listen now, before we go in here, here's what's going to happen. I want you to know this. I want you to know that. I want you to act this way. I want you to act this way. And she's making it very, very, very clear how she wants them to behave, because she loves them, because they're important to her, and because she knows it's going to be within their best interest to do the right thing and to be the right person right up front rather than dealing with the consequences later. Because here's what I want you to get. All right, get this. Because I believe that some of us are picturing those secret times where we think nobody's watching, nobody knows what's going on, and so some of us are visualizing some of those things. Sin, get this now, sin always has consequences. Sin has consequences. Now, you might be thinking, well, but, you know, God forgives sin and everything's all great. No, hang with me. Sin has consequences. All right, as a believer, you can commit sin and God has paid the price for it, but you still have the consequence to deal with. If you get in your car and you drink alcohol and you go drive and you get in a big accident and you kill somebody, that person's still dead. All right? And you're going to pay the price for whatever it might be. Or you just get out and you're horsing around in your mom and dad's car and you're driving too fast, you run a stop sign, hit a car. Your mom and dad can forgive you. Your mom and dad can even come behind you and repair the car and pay the price, but there's still consequences of your action. Sin has consequences. And another thing is that we got to understand is as mom pulled her children around her, when her children act up, those children are going to be disciplined when they get home. Now, God pulled those believers, the ones who believed, the ones who trusted him, he pulled those closest to them and to him, and he had this conversation. All right? So not only does sin have consequences, but God chastises and he disciplines his very own. You know, the Bible says in Hebrews 12:6, for whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. You know, it was funny when I was a kid and I would do things I shouldn't do, and maybe I would do it with my friends. When my mom and dad would find out what I did, they punished me. They didn't punish all my friends. They punished me. Why? Why didn't they punish my friends? Because I'm not theirs. Listen to me. If you are God's, if you are born again, if you've accepted Christ as your personal Savior, and you are a child of God because of the sacrifice that he made, and we're going to talk about that later, if you are his, he is going to punish you and me when we sin. It's a fact. We can pretend like this stuff isn't real, but it is. So here's what we've got to understand. Why is he telling them? Why doesn't he just tell everybody and make it all simple? I'll tell you why. Because the world is crazy right now, isn't it? Doesn't it seem like the world's just kind of gone nuts? And they're burning places down and busting windows and crashing into buildings and doing things. It's just uncivil, unrest. Love is just seems to be non-existent among people. It's just a crazy, crazy world we live in. Let me tell you why Jesus told them first. Because the world isn't going to get right or be right until God's people get right. Do you understand that? The world isn't going to be right until God's people are right. Now, I want to show you a little Old Testament illustration. Remember I told you to mark 2 Chronicles chapter 7. I quote this often, but I want to read it to you because I want you to turn to it, because I want you to see it, because I want you to remember it, all right? So you know, I have the Kings, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles, Old Testament, about middle way through your papers there, and you'll find 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. And this is what the Bible says, all right? Very important that we understand this. Old Testament writings regarding, from Solomon regarding the temple that they had built and going into it. All right, so here's what God says to Solomon. He says this, if my people, read that, if my people, if you want to underline something, underline my people because it's extremely important. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves. So he defines who it's going to be. He doesn't say if when this village gets right, when the world gets right, when the kingdom gets right, when all these things are right. No. He says when my people get right, when my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. Again, that's what we need to do. But I want you to see the beginning of this. My people who are called by my name. You see, here's what I believe Jesus is teaching the disciples. Disciples, looking at the world in some mess. It's a disaster. We're looking at our world today and it's a mess. It's a disaster. We think if Washington will get cleaned up, Washington will straighten themselves out, if Congress will figure out what they're going to do and Senate's going to figure out what they're going to do, and if everybody will just quit judging everybody else and getting along, everything would be right. No, 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 that is not the answer. Here is the answer, my people. Jesus was very clear. Speaking to believers, we need to get right first. All right, number two, beware. The first one is Jesus addressed those who followed him first. All right, number two, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Now, you got to understand, Jesus is in a battle with the Pharisees. Pharisees were religious leaders in that day. So there is this battle between the religious leaders and the King of Glory, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. We think, well, this is the greatest religious leader in the world, except Jesus wasn't a religious leader. He was the Savior. And they couldn't understand that. They couldn't get that. So he's battling these religious leaders, Pharisees. And so there's this battle going on. So he says this. Look what he says. Second part of verse 1. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Well, let's just stop there for a minute. He says, beware, first of all. So I envision this like me driving down the road, and there's a triangular yellow sign, and it has a picture of a deer jumping on it. What does that mean? You guys know what that means? Deer crossing. So what do you do when you get to one of these places? Now, the deer aren't trained to cross right here, right? There's not a crosswalk, and the deer go through there. But statistically and historically, deer have been kind of traveling that path, and they've been kind of going across the road there. And so some of you have hit deer because they were crossed right in front of you and you weren't prepared. So what the state has done, they put up signs where they know this is happening. And so when we get to a sign like that, what do? We slow down. We look around. Kind of watch. Is there a deer coming? I don't want to hit one. Sometimes there's one of those signs, and it shows this squiggly tire track going through. What does that mean? Slippery when wet. So we hit a road like that. We realize, hey, this road could be slick, so I slow down. Now, nowadays, our cars actually will say on our dash, icy roads or something because the temperature has dropped. So we take great caution. So this is what Jesus is saying to these disciples that he's talking to. He said, as we go forward, as you intermingle with this giant crowd that's pressing up against us, he says this, he says, be cautious, beware, be careful, look out, be on your guard. All right. Then he says this, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. What in the world is leaven of the Pharisees? Well, leaven was like yeast. If you guys ever done any baking, you know, you put yeast in bread or leaven, whatever you want to call it, and it makes the bread rise, makes it all fluffy and delicious, and that's where we get Lambert's Home of the Throat Rolls, and they're so good, aren't they? But the leaven makes them do that. It's the catalyst or the motivator or the what makes it happen, what keeps it going. It's actually a living organism that you put in there, and it's what does it. So why is Jesus telling them to be careful of the leaven of the Pharisees? Because the leaven of the Pharisees is this. The motivational factor for the Pharisees was hypocrisy. So that's why he says this. He said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is saying this and trying to put this image out. But then in your Finsta or your private Instagram or your private social media or your private life or in front of that dark computer screen in the basement, you're doing this. And he said, you can't do both. He said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Now, the active ingredient in the Pharisaical life is hypocrisy. Hypocrisy means to be an actor, to pretend to be something else. Now, every one of us, we walked into this church house today. We sat down. We had nice conversations. We said the right things. We did the right things. But how many of us, when we leave here, are going to say the wrong things and do the wrong things and go the wrong places and get involved in the wrong things? But yet we don't want anybody to know it. We want to keep that very, very private. Jesus said that is Pharisaical living. Well, in Matthew chapter 5, this is what Jesus says. I say to you, verse 20, Matthew 5:20, Jesus said, I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. What is Jesus saying? He's saying if your Christianity, if your religion is like the Pharisees, you're not going to heaven. Is he saying that if you do bad things, you're not going to heaven? No. He's saying that if you're a believer, you will live a genuine believer's life. Behind the camera, in front of the camera, in front of your pastor, behind your pastor, in front of your parents, behind your parents. Some of us, when we're children or our children, we would get nervous if we heard mom and dad show up. You know how never to get nervous if mom and dad show up? Don't do what mom and dad don't want you to do. You know how not to be afraid of what you do in the dark and God bringing to the light? Don't do the things that you know God disapproves of. Don't live that life. Now, if we are living a secret life in opposition to our Christian life, we have these two lives going. Let me tell you something. If we do that, you and I are hypocrites. And Jesus has warned us. One thing, that Pharisaical life is not going to make it into heaven. Only a trust in Jesus. Second thing is, it's going to be revealed. So it should really, really get our attention. All right, number three. Here's what I want you to notice next. We cannot cover our sin. We can't hide our sin from God. Now, you may have been very successful from hiding it from your friends. You may have been successful from hiding it from your parents. You may have been successful from hiding it from your boss. You may have been successful from hiding it from your wife or your children or your grandchildren or anybody else. But you can't hide your sin from God. Look at verse 2. Luke chapter 12, verse 2. There is nothing. Nothing. There is nothing covered that will not be revealed. There's nothing hidden that will not be known. Therefore, whatever you have spoken in the dark will be heard in the light. And what you have spoken in the ear in inner rooms will be proclaimed on housetops. Can I modernize this? Will you give me the liberty to modernize this scripture just a little bit? And you'll understand what I'm saying. Have you ever texted something and sent a text message to the wrong person? You ever done that? Maybe it was a bad text message. You went, oh man, I didn't mean to send that to him. Or maybe for some of us older ones, you put together an email and maybe you're really just kind of letting them have it. You typed up this email and ready to go. You hit send. Then you realize, oh no, I sent that to the wrong person. Text messages and emails and social media, they don't have an undo button. You can't pull it back. You can't retrieve it. It's gone. So here's what Jesus is saying in a modern age. Therefore, whatever you have sent, whatever text message you have sent in private will be seen by everybody. Whatever private Instagram you have put out there is going to be proclaimed on the housetops. Everybody will see it. There are no secrets from God. I come up here and I show you my secret socks, okay? Not that God really cares that much, but when I'm putting on my socks this morning in the dark so I don't wake up my wife, he saw what I was sliding on. He goes, Mr. Krabs, huh? Really? Okay, whatever. You know, SpongeBob, SquarePants, really? You know, God knew what socks I put on. He knew what I was doing. God sees everything we're doing in private. He knows everything that's happening in our life. Now, God is going to take our private plans and he's going to make them public. Moses warned the Hebrews. He said, be sure your sins will find you out. They're going to find you out. And although we can't cover, we made it very clear, we can't cover, we can't hide our sins, aren't you thankful that God does? There's a churchy word, biblical word, that called atonement that we use that means to cover up. And the Bible talks about atonement. So when Adam talked his wife Eve into sinning in the garden in Genesis chapter 3, God came along and saw him walking in the garden and said, what have you done, Adam? What did he say? He was the first man to throw his wife under a bus, even though buses weren't existent that day. He said, the wife you gave me talked me into it, God. Right? So, what did God do? God said, okay, you have sinned. We need to do something about that. We need an atonement for that sin. We need to cover the sin. So he killed an innocent animal and shed the blood. The blood ran over as it did in the altars of the Old Testament. Blood ran down. The blood was an atonement or a covering for the sin. But here's the important fact. That innocent animal who did nothing had to die. First blood shed in the Bible. An innocent animal had to die because Adam and Eve sinned. Then we get long in time, and there's Abraham, and he's he's moving along, following God, doing everything God says. And God said, after he'd finally waited to get a son, Isaac, God said, take Isaac to a place called Mount Moriah and kill him, your only son. Abraham says, oh, I'm going to be faithful. He took Isaac. They set out on a journey, loaded Isaac down with wood for the sacrifice, for the sacrificial fire, loaded him down. They went up, built an altar. Isaac laid on an altar. Abraham pulled out a knife. He's going to kill Isaac, right? Because God told him to. He doesn't kill Isaac. Do you remember why? Because caught in a thicket was a lamb. The lamb was a picture of the Lamb of God. And God said, stop! Don't kill him. Why? Because I have an atonement. I have a covering. I have a sacrifice for those sins. Offer this instead. You talk about a weight coming off Abraham's chest. Poor old Isaac is, whoa, Dad, you're going to kill me? And now they walk away free. You see, that's what God did for us. We can't cover our own sins, but God can and has. Both of these are pictures of what Jesus did when he died on the cross. Both the killing of the lamb in the garden, killing of the lamb for Isaac. These are pictures of the death that Jesus is going to have on the cross for you and me. His innocent blood ran down the cross, dripped on the ground. And it is remember, atonement is covering. It is an atonement for our sin, both in the dark and in the light. Covered that sin. But there's something more important that we cannot miss. We say, I'm saved today because Jesus forgave me of my sins. Yes, you are. But I want you to understand something, okay? Don't miss this. Jesus didn't just forgive you of your sins. Jesus paid the price. He paid the price for your sins as well. The Bible says that the wages or the payment for sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. How is it through him? Because Jesus shed his blood and gave his life. He paid the price for those sins. Just like the lamb did for Isaac. Just like the animal or the lamb did for Adam and Eve. The price was paid. And so the blood was shed, the sins were covered, and the sacrifice was made, and we are offered everlasting life through Jesus. Not just forgiveness, but payment for those sins. But now if you go back to what I said a while ago, there's still a consequence and a chastisement for sin, even for believers. So what do we do about that? How do we justify that? How do we make that right? Well, what do we do about that? Well, I've got a couple suggestions the Bible teaches us. First of all, you see the sign behind me that says Jesus? Pastor Buddy's been leading us through a series of messages called All for Jesus. Now listen closely to me, because when you hear his message next Sunday and he starts talking about All for Jesus, I want you to remember this. You cannot live all for Jesus if you're living a double life. Do you understand? You cannot live all for Jesus if you're living this life for us, or this life for church, or this life for God, or this life for mom and dad, and then you're leading this life for yourself, or your friends, or for anybody else. You see, what do we do about that? Well, here's what we do. We merge the two together. You merge the two together. You live lives. What we must do, we live lives that what we say are above reproach. Doing the right thing. I'm going to tell you something. This world is messed up and it's getting worse and worse and worse. I saw a statistic from Lifeway, from the Southern Baptist Convention, Lifeway Research, and this one troubled me greatly. I know you can't read this, but I'm going to show it to you. It shows the public trust of clergy from a lost, unbelieving world. Now this is, if you can see that high point there, and that, they just started here, because I guess they weren't keeping records before then. That's about the time that I started in the ministry. And I think that is, they said about 67% approval. But look down here. See this right here? We're down to about 36-37%. That's the confidence that the world has in preachers like me and Pastor Tim and Pastor Buddy and David. That's the confidence that the world has in us now. Have we done something wrong? Has the world changed? Are things different? By the way, it's all of the above. We're not innocent. The world has changed, and all the things, these things are going on. But then there's another one, and this, I have just so many statistics from that report, and I could just show you. There's 9 pages of statistics here, but this one I thought was very, very interesting. It says 72%, 72%, 3/4 of the unchurched believe the church is filled with hypocrites. That means the people that you're hanging around at work or school, the people who don't share your belief in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, they think you're a hypocrite. They think I'm a hypocrite. Here's what I want to know. Are we? If we're leading this life here and this life here, if we're doing this here and this here, I got some bad news for you. We are hypocrites. So we need to live above reproach. Don't do those bad things as a believer. Then another thing we need to do is we need to do another biblical word, confession. Confession, you know. Confession is where we say, okay, God, you've brought it to my attention now. Maybe right now the Holy Spirit's stirring your heart and you're thinking about these things. You're looking, your mind's going over and your brain's going over in your mind the things that you have done that you shouldn't have done and the other life that you're living, and it's really beginning to bother you. And you say, okay, God, I'm going to agree with you. Confession is agreeing with God. Say, God, I've messed up. God, I've done some things wrong. God, I can't be all for Jesus because I'm not all for Jesus. I'm 50% for Jesus. I'm 30% for Jesus and 70% for the world. God, I'm just all split up. I'm a mess. Listen to me. We're all a mess. That's why God loves us. That's why he sent his son to die for us. But we confess that. The next step is repentance. Confession is, okay, I know I messed up. Repentance is, I'm going to turn around. I'm going to quit doing this. See, confession is where you cry. You don't cry at repentance. Confession is where you cry. Repentance is where you change. Do you understand the difference? Some people say, oh, I'm repenting to God, so I'm crying right now. I'm upset and I'm very emotional. You can have both at the same time, but listen to me. Tears aren't going to change your lifestyle. Only the Holy Spirit indwelling in you is going to change your lifestyle. That's the only difference it's going to make is the Holy Spirit. So we repent and we do the right thing. Listen to me. Don't say, all right, I'm going to do this. I'm going to go home. I'm going to quit doing all these things I shouldn't do. Shutting down the accounts. I'm closing this. I'm whatever. But I want to run it for you, okay? You and I can't do that on our own. But the Holy Spirit lives and dwells within us if we are a child of God, if we are saved, if we've accepted Christ as our personal Savior, the child of God lives within us. Or the Holy Spirit lives within us, rather. He will help you and me do the right thing. Now, there are some sitting here today, perhaps, they're just trying to be the right person, trying to do all the right things. I want to tell you something. You can't do it without Jesus Christ. Remember, the wages of sin is death. That's the problem. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the answer. If you don't have Jesus as head of your life, if you haven't accepted his sacrificial death on the cross to pay for your sins, you can't do right. You can't beat this. And by the way, folks, that's why the world is such a mess right now. Because the largest percentage of the world is without Jesus. And the world needs Jesus. The world should see Jesus in us, in all of us. As we are all for Jesus, doing what he wants us to do, living the life that he has called us to live. You cannot live two lives. I'm going to tell you one thing. It's going to drive you crazy. And it's going to be a battle. I want you to bow your head, close your eyes. Some of us today, we're just in a battle. It's just a battle going on inside. And you say, boy, I've tried to do all the right things. First of all, you're not going to be able to do the right thing until you trust Jesus as your Savior. Second of all, you can't do the right thing as a believer until you shut down the person behind the mask, the person trying to live another life, trying to hide behind that. So we've got some decisions to make today. You know, you can come up to these stairs in just a little bit. You can get on your knees. You can pray and say, God, I'm bringing all that garbage that's been brought to my mind. I'm going to lay it right here. God, I'm going to leave it here. You can pray over it and walk away. Say, God, I've left it. You can come down here and take my hand, Pastor Buddy's hand, Pastor Tim's hand, and say, I need a relationship with Jesus because I can't do this on my own. And we'll introduce you to Jesus. Pastor Tim's right here. I'm going to have him stand right up here. I'm going to stand right here. If you want to come and talk to one of us, you can do that. Let's pray. God, I pray that you'd be with us today, Lord. Reveal to us the side that you see that we don't want to even deal with. God, make it real. Make us real. Make our lives all for Jesus. Lord, I ask these things in Christ's name.